The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello. It's me. Welcome to the show. Sorry I didn't clear my voice. Throat, voice, cankers. Before we started, it's early here in St. Louis, Missouri, even earlier in Arizona where Noah is, because you guys don't change time zones. So you're Pacific time. It's 4:40 in the morning where you are.
Yeah.
That's insane. And you woke up, I'm guessing, at like 3 something.
I woke up at 2:30 because I was anticipating my alarm at like 3:50.
I
went to bed at 10 though. It's fine.
Still, do you have a big day?
I have like a it's fine, Nikki.
You have a regular day? Okay, good.
This is the life of a radio producer. It's not my first rodeo.
Yeah, that's true. I was thinking this morning when I woke up, I was thinking of the montage at the beginning of the morning show. Have mm-hmm. you watched that show?
Yeah.
Where like it's like they just, and like people on the Today Show are always so chipper in the morning. And like, as I was thinking of putting on the Today Show because I was up so early, and I was like, that'll make me feel like ready to start my day. Because I don't know, there's something about waking up in the morning to go to school, and then my dad would be eating breakfast, getting ready for work, and I would be, you know, go in to eat cereal or whatever. And the Today Show, those people were so wide awake, it made you feel like it was okay to, it would awaken you because of their personalities. But you know, then I just pictured a producer being like, guys, be a chipper this morning. Like, they always have to like kind of phone it in because you can't always be that chipper. And I just felt so bad for anyone who works in like morning anything, like morning entertainment, because you got to be chipper AF.
When you did Howard, you know, he's on so early in the morning and you have to do, you know, you have to get ready and all that. And they even start earlier. I think, you know, Howard's probably up at 3.
And Howard, for the first time, you could hear Howard's voice. In some of Beth's videos this mm-hmm. weekend. Beth, yep, his wife, was posting videos of cats, and you could hear Howard's voice, and I was like, oh. I just haven't been able to listen in so long because just no time to listen. And I miss him. I miss his voice. It's so nice. People so many times on the show, on the road, come up to me at meet and greets and are like, we know you from Howard. And they replayed my when I judged the perfect penis contest last year. It was probably like a year ago. And they replayed that recently. So I got a lot of new fans from that. And I love meeting these fans, Noah. I can't wait for you to come to one of these tour shows. Because they're always like, I wish Noah were here for the picture. They always grab Andrew. Because Andrew's usually like off to the side at the meet and greets. Which I don't know how he does that. I used to hate that so much. Of like standing next to the headliner as people would come out and say goodnight. Like I always used to just hide in the green room because I just couldn't take standing there with like nothing to sell. There was no point. I was just standing there and waiting for someone to say something nice. Andrew's not the type of person that has a problem waiting for compliments and being okay if people walk by and don't say anything. I mean, maybe he does have a problem with that, but it doesn't seem to affect his mood. Everyone's very nice, though, but I just hate anyone giving me something because they're like, oh, she's standing here. I should say something to her, too. And then, or, you know.
Is it pity? Is it because you don't want anyone to pity you?
I just only want to get things I deserve. And that I've, like, earned on my own merit, not because people feel bad. That's, you know, why I blur my eyes, because I don't want to look at people in the eye, because they'll just laugh no matter what. That's why I don't like to do crowd work, because it seems like a cheap way to get people to laugh. I just don't like to do cheap things, or, like, things that, I don't know. It's because I don't feel like I'm just worthy enough by just being that I have to, like, prove myself to earn love, and it's not enough that I'm just there. I give a announcement now before shows at all. Like I, so Anya goes out and then Andrew goes out. But in between Andrew and Anya, I bring up Andrew and I give a little like, you know, intro to Andrew and like kind of explain, I don't know, I don't, well, our friendship and just, it's kind of fun. It's just a way for me to go out there and little like warm up and not really be expected to do, you know, joke. Even though it is joke heavy, but I always say to them, like, if during the show you have to, like, pee, please just go. Because I kept meeting people at the meet and greets that were like, oh, my God, I had to pee so bad the last half hour of your show. And I know I probably said this before, but, like, I've been just saying, if you have a panic attack, if you have anything, like, get up and go. I am not, you will not throw me. I am not going to, like, be distracted and be like, what are you doing? Like, what's, I'm not going to pretend like I won't call you out and say you're going to go take a shit like other comedians might. That's always fun stuff when that happens, by the way. I'm not, you know, I'm not judging them for doing that. But I just feel like people are so anxious nowadays. I just hate the idea of anyone not just being able to sit back and have a comfortable time, like they're watching TV on their couch, like that kind of comfort where you're not expected to, you know, where you're, because people watching comedy shows, I realize they are so scared you're going to make fun of them or that it's going to be turned on them. Some people want that so badly and that's why they're like heckling. But I remember I went to go see the Blue Man Group when I was like little kid. And I was so terrified that they were going to grab me and make me participate. I mean, so freaking scared, Noah. Like, my parents took me because they got free tickets when we were young. We went up to Chicago for my dad's work. And they were telling the story the other day when we were in Chicago. And they're like, Nikki was horrified the entire show because we had to sit separately. I mean, my sister had to sit separately. I don't know why. There just weren't enough tickets available or whatever. It was the Blue Man Group was huge back in 1995. I mean, they were seriously, it was like stomp huge. And
wait, what did they used to do? Like, what was their gimmick?
Well, it's the same gimmick, I think. They come out and they're amazing percussionists, and then they pour paint into the drums, and then there's lights coming out. So it's like this blue splashing paint. They have blue faces. They don't talk the whole time. They just do like weird sounds and like, and then they call on an audience member to come up and eat a bunch of like marshmallows. I don't know. It was just like, they just used audience participation and they would just like, they were creepy, dude. They would just like come out and like look at you and like crawl across the, I don't know. It just scared the shit out of me. And my parents said that like the whole time they were just watching me be so scared. I was just always scared of being singled out and those things. Even though now it would be like kind of my dream. Like, I imagine the kid version of me would be like, please pick me. I want to be on stage. But back then, oh, boy, no. No, no, no. Did you like, if you went to Disneyland or any place like that, not that you necessarily had to for this answer, but, like, any kind of, like, character that was dressed up, Santa, I mean, I know you're Jewish, but, like, any kind of, like, you know, Mickey Mouse, these people in costume, even, like, Chuck E. Cheese, animatronic. Are you a child that like likes to hug those people and like get up in like and I don't understand.
I
understand kids that are hugging Mickey Mouse and Goofy at Disneyland. I don't get it.
I think I was. I do remember going to Disney and you know, like hugging Goofy and stuff. I used to love hugging them.
Why was I so scared of those people? I didn't think they were people, by the way. Like, I knew that they were people. I knew that, but there was something, they were like not Goofy, but they weren't a human either. There was something in between because it doesn't look like the cartoon. I mean, that's the thing. Do kids think this is the cartoon?
Yeah, I don't.
Like, do they think the cartoon is a cartoon representation of the living Goofy, which is this giant, like almost like Bigfoot-like character? Like, it looked like Bigfoot to me, like mysterious. They don't talk, too. That is very weird. I don't like the fact that they don't talk. And they just, like, motion and do, like, whoa. It's like mascots. I hate mascots. I think there must be a phobia of mascots. And I have it. I mean, now I could just be like, I know that's just like a dude in that, but I just, I don't like how they always seem to see me and wave at me, like want to interact. I was scared of everything as a kid. And then my parents were talking about, they brought me to Six Flags as a young child. And by young, I mean like 11. And we went on this like spooky hayride or whatever. I hate Halloween, like haunted house, anything like that. Count me out. God, that was one of the worst things about growing up as a teenager in St. Louis is like, they, you know, the radio ads for like, oh, come out to spooky Halloween in Grant's Farm where the ghouls will be. And it's like every, there's all these different places you can go. Silo X, where lasers, you'll have to walk through lasers and men with chainsaws will come at you. And the thing is that none of these people can touch you. You know that. I used to just scream when I'd have to go through them. I used to scream like, don't touch me. You can't touch me. It's illegal. Like that was the, do you remember that like rule that if they touch you, they have to like, they like, you could sue them. Do you remember that rule of like haunted houses?
I did not like haunted houses.
Did you ever go in one?
I think I went once and it traumatized me so bad. I still don't like going to them. I'm okay. Too terrified.
Well, why did you go in the first place? Because like kids were going, like your peers were going.
I think I was like on a date or something, yes. Like an ex wanted to do.
Oh God, I hate them so much. But my parents said that we went on this hayride, and they were always pulling me on things that I didn't want to go to and making me feel like I was, Nikki, come on, it's not bad. And I would see all these kids in line, and I'd be like, God, none of these kids are freaking scared of anything, and I'd feel like such a baby. It was always like, Nikki's such a baby. Roller coasters, movies, anything that got scary, I just would freak out. And they brought me on this roller coaster or on this hayride, and they were like, Nikki, you got so scared. On the hayride, they had an actress that was a little girl, and a guy pulls her off screaming.
No.
And then puts her in a shed, and then the shed blows up. And it was like, of course I would be scared of that. I mean, that's really a good idea, but still, so scary. And last night I was over at my sister's house and I was watching, there's some new Muppet Halloween special with like a million celebrities in it. And then there, Arlo is 5, about to be, you know, he's 4 and a half. And he keeps being like, go to the scary part, go to the scary part. And I'm like, what is wrong with this child? And then Poppy is 2 and a half. And she's loving the scary part too. And this like, there's this really scary part that even made me jump. I was like, what? Why do people like to get scared? I don't get it. I hate being scared so much. I was just listening to the radio and Halloween Kills, you know, whatever, the Michael Myers movie, number one at the box office by far. People like being scared. There's this adorable video on TikTok, you know, of that voice that's like, my daughter loves Michael Myers more than Mickey Mouse. It's like that stupid TikTok voice. Mm-hmm. But it's like, my daughter is the biggest fan of Michael Myers. He came to her birthday party. Did you see that video?
Yes. It's so cute.
It's so creepy. He comes out from like a middle school, like the administrative office. And she sees him from far away and then starts running to him. And like, and then I thought he was going to like pull out or have a machete or whatever in his hand, but he just picks her up and she's so happy. I was like, that kid is so cool. I would have been so jealous of that little girl. My parents had to pull me out of Pinocchio, the Disney movie Pinocchio. Why? Because the whales scared me. I was scared of everything. Name it, and I was scared of it. I came up with tactics in, I guess it was fifth or sixth grade. We went to go see the IMAX. Oh, IMAXs scared the shit out of me. There was all the stars that you, like, in the beginning of the IMAX, it's like, this is IMAX. And you go through, like, the galaxy, and you get, oh no. But there was this, we were seeing the Ring of Fire and it was all about volcanoes. And I was like, IMAXes scare me, but I had to go for this field trip. And my mom was out of town on like a girls trip or something. And my dad, I couldn't stay home from school sick because there was no one to watch me because my dad had to go to work. So, like, I had to go on this field trip. And I was just, like, I was so scared. And I was, like, I can't hide my eyes during it because everyone will make fun of me. So, like, that's when I learned to blur my eyes. And I used a headband to cover my eyes very surreptitiously. So no one knew. But I was just scared of everything. And... yeah, IMAXs are cool as shit now. I don't know why I don't go all the time. It's so fun to feel like that. Oh, my God, what was I just about to say over this weekend? Something cool happened. Oh, God, I forgot. Seeing my niece and nephew yesterday, though, was so fun. I haven't seen them in so long. They are so sweet. And Poppy had a Band-Aid on her head. Like, Nelly was so cute. And I have this thing, Noah, where I have a trunk full of, like, I went to Target one day and just, like, went wild and bought, like, every single toy under $7 that I could find. And I just bought, like, 40 toys, you know. Filled my trunk with them so that every time I come over to their place, I can, like, bring a toy. And they can associate me with, you know, tangible things that they get. and you know, I can make them good consumers. And realize that love is giving you things. But I don't see them often, so I always want to bring them a toy. But it's just turned into this big fucking clusterfuck because every time I bring a toy to Arlo, he hates it. He is so excited about it. He goes, Nikki, do you bring a toy? And I'm like, yes. And then I go in my trunk, and I have a toy for Poppy and a toy for Arlo. I tried to buy, like, you know, toys that they each would want. And Arlo's very much into, like, I don't want girl things. Like, I want boy things. So at first, I was just giving them toys, like, gender neutral, like, whatever. And he would always get upset because he wanted Poppy's toy. Like, his toy was never good enough, even though if I switched them, he'd want whatever Poppy. Like, he just never, he's so excited, and then he gets it, and then he's like, I ate it. And he, like, throws it, and then it's a big fucking mess because my sister's like, you need to thank Aunt Nikki. And I'm just like, no, you don't. Like, you don't like your toy. I don't care. It's fine. Like, you're entitled to not like things. Like, you know, being polite, that can come down the road. Like, you don't need to be polite. You're 4 and a half. I don't care. And she's like, and then we get into a fight because I'm like, stop making him thank me for something he's not grateful for. Like, it's dishonest. Like, I just don't want him to ever have to lie to me. And so now I pull up yesterday and he's like, do you have a toy? And I go, yes. And I go, listen, Arlo. You might hate this toy based solely on the fact that I've given you 17 other toys and every single time you hate them. You might not like this one. And it doesn't matter what it is, by the way. It doesn't matter. And you might be listening to this and be like, what a little brat. But, like, he's just a kid that gets so excited about, he's like me. He likes the before. He doesn't like actually, when he gets the thing, it's over. The excitement's over. And he's not wrong. That's how our, like, reward system works. Our dopamine shoots up when we're anticipating something. And then when we get it, whether it's an orgasm, food, it goes down. As soon as we get it. It's not like the first bite, the first orgasm, it goes down. It's right before you get it that it's the highest. And the only reason we crave sex and food and all these things is not literally for the sex and food, it's for the dopamine that those set off that give us the urge to get those things. I read that this weekend. It was a very interesting read in that Cupid Poison Arrow book. But, like, when I was a kid, I never wanted to open presents because I realized that that feeling goes away when I open the present. And I would stave it off. That's why I don't like to come. That's why I don't like any, because I just want to keep, I know that it's going to go away. That's why I don't like to eat. I don't want the urge and the yearning to go away, even though it always comes back, you know. So I told him, I go, Arlo, good chance you're going to hate this toy. If you don't like it, you can throw it on the ground. I don't care. But you're only getting one toy, and you got to just move on. And we got to go inside, and we got to play with your other toys that you still have that you do like. Because a lot of times he's just like, I don't like that. And then he just, like, gets so mad the rest of the time because it's over. The fun is over. And so I'm teaching him about, like, I'm trying to teach him about being grateful for what you have even if the thing that you are anticipating, I mean, I'm teaching myself essentially, because I get excited about things and then they're over and then I get sad again. But I have to remember that even before I knew that thing was coming, my life was good. So I can go back to that stasis and not go down to these depths of like sadness. Like, I mean, this is very representative of everything in my life. Like, I don't like anything to be over or to like reach the climax because it'll be over. But if I just think about before I even anticipated I was happy, then I can just get back to that instead of going into a negative space. Anyway, he hated the toy. He liked it at first. We were on a good roll. Then he started looking at Poppy's toy. He liked it a lot more. And then Poppy wouldn't share with him. And I go, come on, just share. And then I realized a way to communicate with Poppy that makes her feel like to get her to do things is to whisper. And so I go, Poppy, you got to share with Harlow. And she go, I don't want to share with Harlow. And I go, you got to share. I love sharing so much. It's so fun because then you get it back. It's yours, but you share it, and then they play with it, and then they give it back. She's like, "Is that what share? I'll share." And she just like, if you make it a secret, you can get kids to do anything because they feel like special and like it's like clandestine. So you can be like, "I love broccoli. Oh my gosh, are you gonna eat that broccoli?" Like you can get. It's like a new technique I came up with. And Poppy's so cute when she whispers because I feel like it's just me and her. She's so sweet. I always think these kids are going to forget who I am and then they just like embrace me and it's so, God, I freaking love it. Is there anything sweeter than a child like laying on your lap and like just wanting to hug you? I love them. Yeah. And I'm going to be really sad when their childhood is over. I don't want it to go away. And that's why people keep having babies. That's why my sister's having another one. Due December 5th. Let's get Andrew in here. He is in South Carolina still. I left him there. I left you there in Charleston one day ago. We were in Durham on Friday and Charleston on Saturday. Great shows. Thank you so much to all the besties that came out and asked about my canker sores. Are they still going? Yes. Am I a little bit concerned? Yeah, they're never going away. They always get down to 10%, and then now I'm talking, and they're bulking back up to 30. It's fine. We're going to survive. Let's get Andrew in here. Andrew! What up, Andrew?
What's going on?
How's it going in South Kakalaki?
Well, do you like my headphones that my dad let me borrow?
No, they're terrible. You look like an air traffic controller. You really, I mean, those look like those soundproofing ones that they wear on the airfield.
My dad bought gamer headphones and a gamer computer because he likes the graphics better when he trades stocks.
What? Wait, what?
I don't know.
I don't get what that means.
Well, my dad trades stocks. And apparently the what he uses has like different graphics and stuff, so he likes to the whatever the gaming computer gives him. And then these gaming,
okay,
I don't know, it's a little much, but yeah, he gave me these headphones last night and I was like, Nikki are gonna love these.
And then what about Noah? We realized Andrew forgot all of his podcasting equipment. He's like, it's fine, I'll go to Best Buy, I'll get new stuff and then I'll return it. How are you gonna return it? Are you just gonna go, it didn't really work, you fucking thief?
You're on video using it.
Wait, first of all, if you pay for something, you're not a thief, okay? You're the thief.
If you return something after you use it, you a thief.
Not true. Not true.
Oh my God, besties, chime in. It's not virtuous to wear something or use something and then return it after you're done using it. This isn't a rent.
You think I'm going to return this? You think I'm going to take my time? No, I'm going to have this blue snowball in the back room where I put everything else, where I'm a hoarder.
You're right.
But well, the thought process was right, and I had to drive 40 minutes to Best Buy last night from where I'm staying.
Oh, my God.
And And I kind of missed...
There wasn't an electronics store anywhere closer, or did you just have your mind set on a Best Buy?
You want to see where I am right now? I'm in the middle of... Oh, shit. You there?
I get where you are. You don't need to show me. You're in the middle of a golf course. I get it.
No, but you got to see this. Here.
Okay.
Can you see that?
I mean, it's a, yeah. There's a lake.
Yeah.
And there's a yard.
Yeah, I'm on the third. Trees. I'm on the third floor.
Well, none of this makes me feel like you're not close to a Best Buy. There's tons of places that
would. No, Nikki, you don't understand.
You really proved it to me, Andrew. I get it.
Yeah,
you're in Kiowa, right?
Kiowa. Yeah, it's in South Carolina, outside Charleston.
How's golfing been? We want to hear. Jesus Christ, you are. Oh, there. Oh, I thought you were just being your dad for a second. You're showing us your. Is that what? What is this jacket you're wearing?
This is my uncle's real estate company that I got fired from.
Oh. I thought you were showing us the golf. That was an accident. Didn't you feel like he was showing us the label on purpose, Noah?
Yeah.
What is going on?
I don't know what's going on, man. I'm out of it. I played so bad.
Oh no! Oh no!
Nikki, I can't even like.
No, Andrew,
I can't even.
It all came down to this.
I can't even.
You guys, Andrew has been training. As you know, Andrew's been obsessed with golf for months and months and months, and it all came down to this. Like, there's no. He has no other competition in his life. There's no other like. This is it, dude. Playing against his two brothers and his dad, in like one of a great golf course, not in South Carolina, family trip. Showing them what he's put, the work he's put in, thousands of dollars on lessons, thousands of dollars on new clubs, thousands of hours on just practicing, and it all came down to this. What happened, dude?
I'd like to thank God.
You're a little exhausted from doing 10 minutes two nights in a row.
I'd like to thank God, first of all. I'd like to thank my team. I'd like to thank my golf pro at Family Outing and Golf Center over there in outside St. Louis. You know, everything was supposed to come together for Andrew Collin. He put in the hours.
Stop this.
What's that?
Wait, just tell us. I don't want to do a news conference.
Oh, I thought I was just talking.
Just tell me what happened.
I went to the range. It was very windy, okay? It was extremely windy. Oh. I'm not used to very tight courses where you can lose a ball very easily. I was playing with my older brother, who is, no offense towards him, absolutely terrible. I mean, I played bad, but this guy on six holes in a row put the ball maybe, he hit it maybe 15 yards and about 100 yards right. Like, it was,
mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like, you know, you play, I hate to say that you play.
Why are we focusing on his game? He didn't practice, he's been working, he's a father, he has mm-hmm. multiple properties.
Yes,
he probably has played maybe an hour of golf in the time that you've played thousands.
Yes.
He's, you know, he should be bad. What was going on with you? And what did you shoot? What was your score?
I can't even say it. It's like,
did your dad beat you?
My dad ended up winning. We played based off my handicap, which it's hard to explain what handicap is. Whatever you kind of like shoot over par is your handicap. Okay. So like mine, for instance, yesterday was a 10 or a 12 or a 10. And then everyone played off of me. So
how do you know what that is going into it? Like, you played off of like what your last game was?
The last, you know, 4 months where I've been shooting mid 80s or lower every single time.
Okay.
So to give you an example, yesterday on the front nine, I shot a 51, which would be a total score of 102. So I was 20 over. Ooh, whatever. Boy. I usually shoot. I honestly haven't shot that bad. I was better since this whole thing started.
It's, you got the yips, dude.
No, because you know what? On the back nine, I started off bogey, par, par, birdie, par. And then I had an 8 because we had to wait so fucking long for these fuckers to play. There was a conference out here, and it's a bunch of nerds from Dell. And they all watch each other fucking
Dell.
Yeah.
God, people are still buying Dells?
I mean, I think at this point, it's just a table company that people use the computers for. but anyways, I was a little off. I'm not going to lie. I felt like I was a little off.
Did you have fun?
I don't know. I got to think about it.
I got to imagine you were in quite a mood when your first nine holes were not what you wanted them to be. Was there a lot of cussing? Was there throwing of clubs?
I put away the clubs a couple times very angrily. Very angrily. Mm-hmm. I then, you know, started...
Did you document this on Instagram? I wasn't following you yesterday.
I did not. I was too... Honestly, I played that bad where it wasn't even funny to me, which is crazy.
Were you able to sleep last night? Like, what's the runoff from this going to be?
I fell asleep watching many videos. You know what? I hit some of my clubs very well. I did not hit my driver well, and I started to look for different golf stores that were open for some reason at midnight to trade in my driver for another.
Best Buy, yeah.
I looked. It was closed. Unfortunately,
you think it might be the club.
No, it's me. I know it's me, but I like.
Is it? You know, it's probably just. This happens a lot. Like you prepare for something. It's like. It all comes down to this. I mean, you've been talking about it all week of like, oh my God, like there's been a nervous energy. I'm playing with my brothers and my dad. And like, I mean, you already have like a lot of, you know, your family's like succession, you know, like there's a lot of family drama that is just beneath the surface that none of you are talking about. There's a lot of tension. There's also a lot of goodwill and like just, you know, you guys have so much fun together, but this is you like being able to show like I've really worked at something and this is what I've,
yeah.
I want to show what I've, this is where I can like my older brother, he might be more financially successful than me, but this is where I'm going to like really show I can put the work in and I'm going to prove to him and to everyone that like I can also be as successful at something. And then do you think it was a mental thing? Obviously, right? Because your game, you said you went to the lesson the other day and your instructor was like, dude, like blown away.
I mean, you joked about the 10-minute thing, which is a common joke that you say. But,
you cannot say that you were tired from the shows. You just can't.
I'm not tired from the show. I'm not tired from my 10 minutes, Nikki. I'm tired from traveling. We travel 15 hours and my brain is a little off, and even if it's 10 minutes my brain still needs to get right to perform. It's still a thing, you know.
Yeah.
So, and then I slept, you know, you like a nice green room hang. I didn't get home till what, 12 that night. I didn't go to bed till probably 1:30, you know, and then I wake up at 7 to go to their hotel, so I slept 5.5 hours. Then,
that's not good.
Then we traveled an hour and a half to get here, and then we hit balls, and then I ate too big of a lunch before the match. I had a trout salad with way too much bread. You know, all these things add up.
A little trout salad for breakfast/first meal of the day.
A little trout salad. So all these things do add up.
And I love a trout salad because it sounds like such a healthy option. And then you said with so much bread.
Yeah.
you ate a sandwich.
Yeah, well, trout salad is a like a tuna fish, if you will, mm-hmm. but with trout. Yeah.
Gotcha. Oh, okay.
It's a delicacy out here.
It's the Andrew Collin type of salad.
Yeah. Well, I like a triple bogey where you get the egg salad, tuna, and chicken salad all on the same plate, and you mix them up.
God, golfers have the like most least healthy diet.
We like to chill. Anyway, so I came out here, and all that being said, I think I'm going to play much better today. I did.
You definitely are.
I put way too much on it. I showed my goods in the back nine. I'm going to be honest.
All right.
But it was a lot.
We look forward to hearing about what happens today. Keep us posted. I hope you document it on Instagram. I think that might give you a little bit more of an investment in it and a lighter attitude about it all, so it doesn't, if you do play bad, at least you can make comedy out of it. So maybe put it on Insta.
I mean, yeah, I think I could You know what? I'm going to go ahead and blame you for this because...
I would.
Yeah, because...
Sounds like you didn't get enough sleep. I wanted a green room hang after the show.
No. I got it.
That's what it comes down to.
I got a text on the third hole about when we were going to do the pod. And then, you know me, I get worried, like, you know, can we do it tonight or tomorrow? And then I was thinking about having to get to Best Buy. So it was a very tough day. But, you know, your boy's Andrew Collins going to bounce back and he's going to play well today. I promise.
Oh, the text I sent that delayed the podcast even more than you originally thought made you stressed out.
Yeah, so I blame you. And no, I blame Noah.
Listen, I deserve it. And I just hope you have fun. Try to have fun and not, it's none of this matters.
You're right.
But let's get to the news.
Apparently, it's, here it comes.
You heard it here first.
Oh boy, it's Monday, folks. You know what that means? It's Monday. I hope you're having.
When this started.
I hope you're having all the swells out there. I'm not because my dad took me out of the will because I played so poorly yesterday.
No, you were worried he was going to take you out of it if you did better than him. So I think he's probably pretty happy right now.
Honestly, I don't know. I think somewhere in the middle would have been best. But here we go. Mm. Okay, horrifying video shows a subway worker walking through food. Putting food on the bathroom floor and drinking out of bottles before putting them back in the fridge. The man said...
What?
The man
said... What? No! You're... No.
What?
No.
What?
I don't want to hear this.
Why?
I depend on Subway. No! What is that?
Well, in fairness, it wasn't your...
It's the only thing I can eat on the road.
I don't think he was fucking up your lettuce, though. You're the only person that only eats lettuce at Subway.
I know, that's true. Okay, so it was the meats?
Yeah, it was mostly the meats cheeses. And the breads.
Good. Desecrate animals that gave their life for your shitty fucking $5 sandwich. What did they do?
I love this. The man said he did it to draw attention to his films and music and made a series of 30 horrifying videos after putting in his 2 weeks notice. So he did this all as a reward for himself. You know what I mean? Like to get attention for himself. So
I just followed him on Spotify. I don't even know who this guy is and I just figured it out.
You mean
I gotta know.
You mean Scorsese's son?
Wait, what? What did the guy do? I don't understand the picture I saw. It just looked like a bunch of trash, like in a on a floor.
I mean, yeah, he walked all over the food. He drank.
He's doing an art piece, and then he put the food back in.
I mean, I don't think
there's a photo of him in the article, and he took all of the cold cuts and he put it around a toilet seat and took a selfie in front of it.
I mean, that's pretty brilliant.
This is worse than what Jared did.
This is better than my golf game yesterday.
Oh my God. That kind of is, I like it as a vegan to be like, you know, this is basically what you're eating anyway. Like people can be grossed out by that, but you're eating animal parts. So
his name's Jermaine.
Jermaine?
He said, at one point, I'm willing to take a higher risk for a higher reward. I mean,
I like this. This kind of sounds like the American Beauty guy that filmed plastic bags. I do want to watch this guy's films. What the fuck?
Does this ruin Subway for you?
I mean, listen, I went to Subway this weekend in, a really small town somewhere between Durham and Charleston on, like, you know. All we're doing is two-lane highways the whole way. It was a big fucking phobia fest for old Glazed Dog. And we finally get to the Subway in a really small town attached to a gas station. And there's this guy working there that is just... I mean, the people that work at Subway look so... It's
happy?
No, there's no sadder employee than a Subway employee. None. I beg you to find a person who looks more disgruntled. Not even disgruntled, just... The life has been sucked out of them. They don't make eye contact. They just are machine. Like I used to go to Subways all the time, and I'd meet, you know, some fairly nice people occasionally, but it's always just me. Like, I'm sorry, can I get a little bit more lettuce? And it's like, why do I have to beg for you to get more? I know it's annoying that you have to replace the lettuce eventually, but just Well, I'm not, you didn't have to slice meat for me. You didn't have to toast it. You didn't have to chop my salad in a fucking weird bowl like they make you do sometimes. This is the easiest thing you could ever make. Why? You're not losing money. Even if you own this franchise, you're not losing money by giving me more salad. Just give me more fucking lettuce. I like that shredded lettuce. But just the life behind these people's eyes.
I love watching you order a salad at Subway. It is,
I mean, I've been doing the same thing since I was, you know, I think sophomore year of high school I started. My obsession with Subway started in probably sixth grade. Used to get a roast beef on white. Lettuce, extra lettuce.
You ordering a roast beef on white bread is fucking wild.
Oh my god, it was so delicious.
Oh, it's the best. Then extra mayo.
I eventually went to turkey because I thought that was more healthy. You know,
just yeah, it's fucking, it's lighter
because it's yeah, it's a lighter color. I don't, who can, what does any of this mean? Beef sounds like, oh, if someone's beefy, they're fat. So equals
yeah,
this is like all of this just lies. And then man, Quiznos was my jam in high school. Wow. I toasted white bread, a turkey. They had that like roasted turkey that almost like it wasn't like, you know, the slimy.
With the Italian dressing on it.
With the Italian fucking dressing, my man. Yes. Yes.
Yep. I crushed that.
Extra lettuce.
Yep.
So much lettuce, pepperoncinis. I used to have them go, and my friends would always make fun of me, but I came up with a great plan at my local Quiznos. I'd go, honestly, more lettuce than you think any human would ever want on their sandwich. I'm telling you right now. And then they would do it, and I'd go, honestly, more than that. I'd say, here's what you do. Splay your hand out like you're giving a high five. Now dump it in the salad. Now close it like a crane. Like, let's do a, like one of those toy machines.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then get as much as you can. Now put it back into, like, I would always do that. But, you know, at these Subways, it's always just, I'm sorry. Ugh, can I get more lettuce? I'm so sorry. Like, I apologize every time because they make it seem like it's the worst thing they've ever had to do. And I hate on Subway where they slam the mayo and go, pum, 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 pum.
That's my favorite part.
Oh, God, it squirts all over. It's so gross.
Dude, why?
But I do love Subway.
Why don't
so
you
much.
Bring back the toy idea? I think going a little more.
Because that's cute when you're in high school and like flirting with the guy at Quiznos who works there. This ain't cute when the guy is,
you know what
close
I think it is?
Killing himself.
You know what I think?
Or taking the cold cuts to the bathroom. What?
I think at Subway, they just, first of all, it's always like one or two people that work in the whole store. They have to make the bread. They have way too many responsibilities there. Yeah.
I feel for any employee of these places.
I mean, they have to make
Starbucks?
Fresh bread. I mean, fresh bread there, it smells like plastic. So it's like, I don't even know why
so
they have to make it there. But I guess it does taste pretty good.
It's the illusion. They heat it up there. Something.
Oh.
Well, I guess it does rise there. I don't know. They have a grain field in the backyard, a yeast field. Okay.
Yeah, they got to wake up at 4 a.m. and plow.
I used to have a joke, but this really did happen. One time I walked into a Subway and the guy, you know, obviously was trained to go, "Welcome to Subway." And I thought he said, "I work at Subway." I just thought he had to announce it. So one time I walked in and he goes, "I work at Subway." And I go, "Did you say you work at Subway?" And he was like, "No, I said, welcome to Subway." And I was like, "Oh, I thought you said I work at Subway." And he goes, "Well, I do." We just stared at each other. I was like, I'm sorry, dude. Sorry they make you say I work at Subway.
What did you say after that? You just were like in silence? Just a weird.
I said, now put your hand out.
Like a
like
toy.
Like give me a high five. All right. Let's get to the next story.
Here are some.
I'm salivating thinking about Subway. I love it. That shredded lettuce. It's so fresh. What?
I don't know.
Andrew, what are you looking down at? Look at what we can see. When you look down. It's just hat
and big headphones.
Hat and headphones. Those awful headphones.
Hey, dude, I play Fortnite every day in these. All right.
We had fun in the green room hang, by the way. That's all I want. That's why I go on tour is for green room hang. I can't stop doing that because you got to have a better golf game.
First of all, Nikki, I say these things in jest.
And my favorite part is when Andrew starts to fall asleep. He starts to get sleepy. He's so funny when he's just like, yeah, that's what I said. He lays back and he's like, Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sandwich Seth. That's what I said. That's what I said. And then we just start saying, making Andrew talk when he's really tired is so funny. That video I posted of you singing.
Yes, it's very funny.
Trying to make your voice as beautiful as possible because we were making fun of how bad Andrew is at singing.
I was sleeping.
And I go, try to honestly sing as best you can.
Fine. Give me a song right now. I can sing. I can really sing. I can.
Jackson Brown, Running on Empty.
I'm running on empty. I'm running on empty.
It's not bad, by the way. It's like kind of beautiful, but it's not good.
No, it's not good. You know,
like it's just like, I think you think that making it good is like, raise your eyebrows.
All right, well, give me a lesson. Give me a lesson right now. What do I do?
I don't know. I'm going to a voice lesson later today. I don't know what the fuck to do.
You go to a voice lesson, you just talk to a lady for an hour and a half. You don't even sing.
I'm not joking you. I didn't even talk about it on the show. The last time I went to this voice lesson with this girl who I like am obsessed with, I talked the entire lesson. We never sang one note. No, I had to apologize. I go, I am sorry. I talked the whole time. She didn't even talk. And I go, I just really needed this. She was like, it's okay. And I've been embarrassed to go back. This is the first time I've gone back, and it's been weeks and weeks because I was so embarrassed that I talked the whole time. Not surprising for me. Okay, next story.
Okay,
sorry.
Here are some of the classless sounding slang names for a vagina and classiest. Penis. Oh, classiest. Sounding slang, dude.
He's tired.
It's very small. Classiest sounding slang terms for vagina.
Look at old hat headphones. Just no person. Just hold up your. You are so funny. The classiest names for a vagina.
Yes, for the last 600 plus years. All right.
Oh, okay. So this is like almost going to be like Canterbury Tales.
Yes, in 1386. Exactly. Okay, here's vagina. In 1386, a Belchose? Okay.
I think it's Belichose.
It's Belichose.
B-E-L-L-E-C-H-O-S-E.
I like this.
Belchose.
In 16...
is French. Belchose.
In 1618, they called it a phoenix nest.
Okay. Don't phoenixes rise from the ash?
From your ass. Contrapunctum in 1653.
This is a nightmare.
Yeah, I think Noah highlighted the ones I won't be able to say. Here, Noah, you say them then.
Okay, first of all, a phoenix nest is a classical term for a penis, not a vagina.
Oh, well.
The old phoenix nest.
Is a contrapunctum.
Oh, these are all labeled under vagina. Interesting.
No, there's penis. I just didn't underline it. So maybe that's why.
Well, no, okay. You have penis after vagina in the list here.
Noah, you look very Lady Gaga today.
I do? Thanks.
Like, I feel there's been multiple times I've looked at the screen and been like, that's Lady Gaga. Like, a part of my brain thinks it is.
A thatch cottage. That's kind of funny for a vagina.
That's got to be a pussy.
Yeah, it's a pussy.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense with the hair in front of it.
Oh, I like this one. A lady's low toupee.
I mean,
okay.
What are you telling me? That's a penis too?
No. How about a privy council?
What
penis
does that
or
mean?
Vagina?
Privy council. Well, privy means, I guess they're saying privy means like I'm privy to it, like I know it. A council, it's got to be a penis because it sounds more stately. And these are probably written by men. Privy council.
What about an aphrodisiacal tennis court?
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's something.
I mean, that can't be from 1368. There wasn't tennis courts back. Maybe there were.
1665, this one.
That's vagina.
Noah?
I'm afraid that's a penis, Nikki.
What does any of this mean? It doesn't relate to anything. I can't even understand how this even makes sense. Do you talk about dicks on the golf course? Is there sex talk on the golf course with you and your brothers and your dad? That's where a lot of like really lewd conversations happen.
Tits was mentioned at one point.
Tits was?
Yeah, I can't remember in regards to what.
But your dad had one removed?
He did have one removed.
To make his swing better? Oh, you were saying that women's have, you know, boobs get in the way of a good golf swing.
Yeah, my dad had big fat tits, so they got in the way. But he got one cut off.
I was
off.
Reading on Reddit yesterday, there was a, you know, in the Ask Men thing. It said, what is your biggest insecurity? And I thought of you because I thought, puffy nipples. Someone's got to say puffy nipples. No one said it, you know, in the top comments. You know the number one thing that most men are insecure about, Noah? Think about what is it? Take some guesses. And it's not
hair.
Their privy councils.
Top of their head.
Good guess. I would have thought that as well.
Money.
Yes. Money.
Yeah.
It made me realize, Noah, like, men really need to feel like they earn and that they like have it made me so sad that all these guys feel like they're just such less men because they have a studio apartment or because they don't drive a cool car or like, and of course, yeah, you know, that stuff does matter because it's like, or it you know, it can matter to a lot of
people.
Well,
if you say that,
it's just interesting that I would have never thought that would have been that, like, the one I saw over and over and over.
Well, if you say that when women want to like dress a certain way or wear heels, it's because, you know, magazines and what guys think.
Yeah.
All women.
Yeah, you guys are catering to what women
want.
Yeah,
yeah, which is money. Like, let's
no,
be honest.
Which is protection and security.
Which comes from money.
Right. But, you know, it used to, which is true, but it used to come from like, we're the weaker sex. And so we need more defenses against things. And we also, like, are, you know, when we have babies, we're definitely slower. And, like, I'm guessing we were just, like, we need men to protect us.
You need a jaguar.
Money now. We do. We need to get our nails done every couple weeks so we can scratch tigers that might be. What did you call a saber-toothed tiger?
I don't know. A tiger with teeth? Bigger teeth?
No. You had some line for a saber-toothed tiger. You messed it up.
Oh.
And someone made a meme for us about it. I forget what you said. This is a great podcast. Okay, so let's take a quick break and come back with Why Do I Care? All right.
Why do I care?
All right.
Why do I care?
Howie Mandel... Can I do a left turn here real quick?
Oh, I know what happened with Howie Mandel.
Yeah, he fainted.
Yeah, you could. He fainted in a Starbucks.
After getting a colonoscopy.
Yep, and he was dehydrated. Yeah.
I did a comedy show after doing that, so fuck you, Howie. Thank you. I still was wearing the socks that they give me on the show.
What?
Yeah, the grip socks. I got.
Was it just because?
Yeah.
Wait, was it just because you were like, oh, I like these socks?
I just thought it'd be funny to take my shoes off and show people that I was wearing the socks.
Did they like it?
No, they didn't really care for it. But,
all right, so you, wait, so, colonoscopies can be traumatic to your system, and you have to not eat before them, so he was, like, probably low in fluids, and he fainted at a Starbucks.
Yeah, you're supposed to have...
Because he saw the price of his latte. And him fainting on a Starbucks floor as a germaphobe, yikes.
He's also a workaholic. He went and did a Logan Paul's podcast during that day. Like, it just sounds like he can't take a day off. But...
Yeah.
I could see you fainting and not knowing why because of working so hard.
Yeah, I have fainted before, but I think my canker sores are definitely, like, I don't get sick, you know? Like, I rarely get colds or flus or anything, and I think that my body knows that, like, if we give her the flu, she's not going to even fucking feel it or do anything with it. So we're going to give her something. So the only thing that will make it so she can't work, which is we're going to infect her tongue with sores that make it so she can't talk.
Karma.
Canker sores, I believe, are like, you're like, people keep telling me it's herpes that I need to try, like, Valtrex. And I'm just like, I don't think that's true. I mean, I will be open to the fact that I have some sort of, like, honestly, I would not care if I had something that was, like, a viral thing in my mouth. Like, I've had a cold sore before. in 2010 or 11 was the last time I had one. But, and no shame if you get those. I don't think anger sores are that. I've been getting them since I was a kid. I didn't have HPV as a four-year-old. Like, it just, I think it's just your body's just weakened immune system and anxiety and lack of sleep and abrasions in your mouth. Anyway.
Nah, you got herpes. You have herpes.
It was so funny. These two girls came up to me at the show this weekend. Andrew heard it. And they go, she was like, Nikki, so many besties asked about my cold sores at the meet and greets. It was so nice. It was so nice. They're like, how are they? And I got to show them close up. I was like, look. And they're like, oh, boy. And I'm like, see? It's fucked up. But one girl was with her girlfriend, and she was like, here, you got to take Valtrexamir or something. And it sounded like Valtrex. And I go, it's not viral, girl. It's not herpes. And she was like, it is. It's a form. And I'm like, it's not. I've researched this a ton. Like, if that were it, I would take it. But I'm not going to take Valtrex needlessly. And she's like, I swear to God, I used to get them all the time. And now I take it daily. And I don't get them. And I was like, okay, I will ask my doctor about it. And she was like, also, I only dated men until I started dating her. And I took a chance. And oh my God, you got to try it. It's like, this is the answer. And I was like, okay, so let me get things straight. I'm going to ask my doctor about bisexuality. And I'm going to start taking... which one is it? But this girl was just like spouting out like, you gotta do this. And I love a you gotta do. Like, I gotta recommend this thing. So, you know, I'm open to it. I can't tell you the amount of women I'm meeting and know in my personal life who dated men and then all of a sudden fall in love with a woman. And they're like, oh, it was this the whole time. I'm open to it. But there's nothing about... I don't want to switch my apps to women. I just, I need a woman just come into my life and I fall in love with her. Like, oh my God, I didn't even realize I could feel this way. It's not going to happen with me, like putting my, that's not the way it's going to happen. But I'm open now to looking at women in a different light.
What, like, how so? Like, you mean like, date?
Just, you know, like the way I look at men when I meet men and just being like, oh, could I date them? Like, that's how I get interested in men generally.
Well, here's the thing.
It's like they're in my sphere and I go, oh, that guy's kind of cute. Let me just like keep being friends with him and see where it goes. And then I eventually go, actually, I like him. And then it's like, all right, now I've got a crush. None of my real like relationships ever start on these apps where it starts off with like, do we like each other?
Well, I feel like you love a toy. You love multiple toys. I mean, yeah. A woman can provide that very easily.
Yeah. Oh, I don't need a dick.
Yeah. So all these things, like, so really it just
Or comes- I do need dicks, but I, you know, they can be brought in by someone who doesn't have a dick or someone with a dick, you know?
Yeah.
And I love a dick attached to a man. But I feel like even if I was in a relationship with a woman, we would have some kind of rule where we could have those brought in at times.
Maybe the guy will have...
I feel like I would have others brought in.
Maybe the man could have sex through her legs into you.
No, I don't need it to be like... it's. And I mean, girls can wear strap-ons. There's no issue sexually with me, like my sex life, where I'm like, oh no, it would be weird. I like a masculine energy. And I like the way men look.
Have you ever felt someone else...
a strong jaw.
Yeah, yeah. Do you like... You like a hairy chest, surprisingly. To me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like hair on a man. I like hairy legs. I like hairy, like, ass crack. I like balls. I like it. I like hairy pits. Not that women can't have those, too. I like stubble. I like men.
What is it about?
But I do find that I could be in a really good relationship with a woman. I'm into it.
As a woman, when you think of balls, like, what is it about balls do you like? Like, what?
Because they're so absurd, and there's nothing on our body that even resembles them. They're almost like tits. You know, like, you guys don't have them, so you're just like, what is it? And you just want to, like, squish them. Like, that is, in a good pair of balls, like, is very, a taut pair of balls that's, like, full and, like, feels like, you know, like a squid that washed up on the, a jellyfish that washed up on the shore.
Yeah.
Like, taut, not saggy. That's a good feeling. in your mouth, in your life, in your hand, even a saggy pair. It's just funny. And there's something powerful about feeling balls when you're blowing someone and like having that kind of control and making it like it's just a new kind of it's just like a dick, you know, it's like this thing you don't have that you get to kind of play with and it's squishy and fun.
I feel like,
and when you get more comfortable with it, it's great.
I was giving Brenna a foot massage and I covered her whole half a foot with my balls. And she said it felt and she said it felt good.
I bet it would feel cool.
It's like a heating pad.
I was once with someone that had balls that were so big. They reminded me of the thing from that what's the movie with the fat kids at camp? Or little giants or little
remember the kids at camp
that jump on that big thing in the lake?
Oh, the Blob.
Yeah, the Blob. What, the Judd Apatow movie. He wrote it. Ben Stiller's in it.
Heavyweights.
His balls looked like that gigantic. It was. They were so big and interesting. I loved it. What are your feelings about balls, Noah?
I agree 100% with everything you're saying. I love it. It's like a stress relief ball.
Yes, those like
attached to someone you care about.
Yeah, those Zen things that you can just move in your hands. Do you feel? What was I going to say about balls? I used to be scared of them, though. Like, they're, you know, when guys are like, oh, I got hit in the balls. Like, they're too sensitive. I don't want to touch them. I don't want to, like, make a guy feel uncomfortable. Now I just get in there. Oh, balls in your mouth. Have you ever, do you like to do that?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah. It's all very fun.
Of course.
There's so much to play with down there.
You put the whole balls in your mouth? Like.
Yes.
I do one at a time. I'm too scared to squish them too much. I don't know.
Oh, I try to go all in. I try to do it like I'm the Blue Man Group show with marshmallows.
Time out. You put the whole scrotum in your mouth?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't even have a big mouth either. I really get them in there because it almost becomes like a challenge.
Yeah.
God.
It's like getting all the lettuce like the toy arm.
But yes.
But for your mouth.
It's so interesting.
I like putting them on my nose and like feeling them divide.
Oh my God. Noah, that's so funny.
It's just very therapeutic for some
feeling
reason.
Feeling them divide. It's so funny. I'm literally going to do that the next time and just gently go. I just want to feel them divide with my nose.
I just miss long division. I just.
Oh my God. Carry the ball. Oh my God. That is so funny. Because we know that. I know exactly what you're talking about. Feeling them divide.
Oh, it's perfect. Damn. It's perfect. So funny.
All right. Let's get to top one, bottom one.
Think we're talking about balls.
Things you like to divide with your nose.
Yeah. Top one, the left one. Bottom one, the right one.
And Coke.
I'm giggly today. What's the top one, bottom one?
Today we're doing singing voices. Is that the one we chose?
No.
I thought we were doing fountain sodas.
Today we're doing fountain sodas.
Okay. Fountain sodas. All right, like this was an interesting one, Andrew. You came up with this. I'm going to ask you to start. What is your least favorite fountain soda?
Are we talking about ice? Or are we talking?
I mean, you came up with this, dude. What, ice?
Yes, your rules.
Ice.
Okay, I would say my least favorite.
Wait, what did you mean? Are we talking about ice?
What do you mean?
What do you mean? We said the least favorite. The just fountain sodas, and you go, are you talking about ice? What?
No, because ice matters in this, dude. That's the whole...
Ice does matter. Okay, so, like, whatever kind of ice you want.
Okay, all right. I would say my least...
So you're starting with a crushed ice.
No, I love crushed ice.
I know. I said you're starting with crushed ice. What are you putting on the crushed ice?
No,
Oh, so your least favorite is going to be cubed ice.
Yes.
big chunky cubes of ice that are coming out like every 20 seconds and going,
yes, yes.
And you just have to wait and hold it. It goes,
and they have circles in them. They have circles. They have empty circles in them. It's like the Swiss cheese of ice. Ugh.
Yeah. The ones that look like little bunion separators. Yeah.
I would have to say, and I know this is probably hack, but it's hack for a reason, is when you go to a diner and they have the shitty ice, the ice that's even too big to chew on, because it will hurt your teeth that I don't have.
Yeah, and you love chewing ice.
I did until I lost my molars in the war. But the war of 1812 is what the number of my teeth went from going down.
18 to 12.
So
that's funny.
So I mean, you know, I love the divide like Noah, but no. So when you go into a diner and you go, hey, can I get a Coke? And they go, is Pepsi okay? And I gotta tell you, it's not okay. It's not okay.
So Pepsi.
And why is there a monopoly, one or the other? Just have fucking both there.
Both. Right.
Like,
okay.
Who's saying to a diner, hey, you got Coke? We're not doing business with you. It's like, what? Pepsi? Fuck you. But yeah.
Okay.
So that would be my least, because it's just, I'm expecting a great Coke and I get a fucking Pepsi.
All right. Great answer. I am going to go for my least favorite with the little dribble of water that comes out of the like Minute Maid.
Yeah.
Like, the little white nozzle you press next to the Minute Maid one to get just the water mixture. And it comes out and it has yellow in it. You have to wait so long for the yellow to drain out so that you can get just clear water.
Where is that water coming from, dude?
I have no idea. I think it's all the holes in the ice are cut out and then melted, and then a guy takes them in the back and puts them in the toilet and takes a selfie with them and then brings them back into the machine.
I get 9 million.
I don't like that dribble of water that they go, we got water on the thing, and you have to go with your little cup. You got to fill it with water, and it takes longer. And I just want a water. I want the water to have its own spigot. And does spigot sound like a hate term? Yes. Is it? No. But does it have all the parts of a racially insensitive?
Oh, it has slur? Everything. It has everything.
It has everything. But the word spigot is does not sound good ever saying it. But that is the word for it. And I want water to have its own.
You know what's so bad about that water is you could even throw a little lemonade in there in a clear cup and people won't call you out because they're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. That water is so...
Totally. It's... You can do whatever you want with the water cup. We all know that.
Yeah.
There's no rules. No one's really watching that. The subway employees, they can't see that far. Their vision has been ruined from... just staring at the board in front of them making sandwiches. They never look you in the eye. They can't see beyond the meat, the cold cuts. So they'll let you get away with just the water cup for water. Sure, for water. All right. Sometimes though, if they've been like, "Hey, don't use that water cup." And I saw you get Dr. Pepper in that, and you go, "No, this is water." And they go, "Oh yeah, I forgot we were in Flint, Michigan." Okay, Noah. What is your least favorite fountain soda?
Least favorite bottom has to be root beer.
What?
Wait, just root beer in general?
I mean, I don't get root beer in general when it's from a fountain. Even like, it's just drinking licorice. Why does anybody like it?
Ooh,
wow.
Disagree.
Yeah.
Hard disagree, girl. I'm
speechless.
Man, I'm so on board with you dividing balls with your nose. You've divided this podcast with that comment. With that bottom
just
one.
Just wait until you hear my top.
God, root beer is like the nose that cut these balls off the fucking podcast.
You were Lorena Bobbitt, my
wait, you never
soda.
You never liked root beer ever? Like, I can understand not liking it out of a fountain because it's like, oh, root beer needs to be bottled. But like, you just don't like
never
root beer in general. You think it tastes like anise.
Yeah. Like
the licorice-y.
Licorice. And not not the strawberry one, like the black licorice. You know, it has that
right.
like
black
weird-
licorice is licorice, and I think strawberry licorice is a bastardization of licorice, yeah. right? But we all think that that's licorice because who the hell likes black? I mean, some people do like black licorice.
It tastes like medicine to me. I don't like it.
Yes, agreed. I love root beer, and I think it probably was medicine initially. So that's not too far off. But I do love root beer. Zevia sodas, the ginger root beer, is one of the most delicious things on the planet. My sister yesterday gave me a Diet A&W, also a delicious beverage. I'm back on diet soda. Have they given me canker sores? Probably. Andrew, top soda, fountain soda.
Okay. It's so tough. But, Chick-fil-A does a good job with their ice. So you throw a DC, a little Diet Coke. Chick-fil-A, take the lid off. Don't fuck with the lid. Don't drink through the straw because then you get right to that crushed ice, which you get to chew up while drinking.
Oh my God.
It's fantastic. It's like a...
Usually I hate Andrew and his ice chewing because it is insanely loud. And he rattles the cup before he goes for it.
Yeah.
So you get a... and then a... so it's like a precursor to let you know... But this weekend, our flights got really fucked up. That's a story for another podcast. We committed maybe a federal crime this weekend.
Yeah.
Don't want to get into it.
That affected my golf
game. Flights
got
really fucked up.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Well, we landed in Durham. We were supposed to fly from Durham, St. Louis, Charlotte to Durham. We had to land in Charlotte because our flight connection was going to be too late because our flight was delayed out of St. Louis. We had to get a car service from Charlotte to Durham. 2.5 hour drive. This old man picks us up. I could have sworn he was probably 90, but he ended up being 66. I like flip those numbers around, sir. I felt was falling asleep at the wheel at one point because we heard the traction go, and it like lasted too long. You know, like when you like fuck, like you're driving someone and you drive over the rumble strips. And you almost stay on them longer because you're like, I know I'm on it. Like, because if you were to jerk off instantly, you would have been like, I made a mistake. But instead, you're like, I wanted to go on the rumble strips.
Yeah, it's relaxing.
He like, kind of stayed on them too long, which made me think that he did wake up, but he knows how to not jerk when he wakes up because he does it so much. So I was worried about him falling asleep. Then I couldn't fall asleep. But then Andrew started shaking the ice, and I go, that is keeping this guy awake because I know it's keeping me awake. And I really liked it.
Well, I feel like sometimes when I drive with old people, I go, oh, they could just die right now. You know, you ever think about that going like 90 on the highway and you're like, oh, no, it's like they could have died 6 years ago. I mean, just based off science.
Yeah, they could just. I feel like there's a little bit of there's a precursor to just dying. I don't think when you die of old age, it's just like dead.
What about
like,
a heart attack? A heart attack while driving.
Well, I think he'd go like, yeah, and then he'd slowly pull off the side of the road. Is Buzzy on you, Noah?
Buzzy?
Oh, I thought. See, there's like a black, like your outfit, your sweater has like a black thing to it. So I thought Buzzy was like laying on you. Like, you know how your sweater has like gray on it and then black? Mm-hmm. It looked like Buzzy was crawled up
under. He was on me before.
Okay, that makes sense. My number one fountain soda is a suicide.
What?
Is killing what is myself that? In front of the machine because none of it's good enough. No. Suicide. Jeez. Classic kids thing where you just go down the row and you get every single soda in it.
Wow.
Don't know why they called it a suicide, but that was the first time I'd ever heard that term in my life as a child. And that's when you just get them all. But you don't do the juices. You know, all the carbonated ones. So you go Mountain Dew, Dr. Pepper, Pepsi, Diet. You know, I would skip Diet Pepsi because that was for my mom. And then I would just hit them, Mr. Pibb, maybe a slice, and you just make a fucking crazy sugar concoction with all of them. And it just turns into the color of, Pepsi. But that's, I used to like that.
It's like my triple bogey. Yeah. It's like the chicken salad, egg salad, tuna salad of the soda.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I like to do that as a kid. I always felt like very like badass. And like it was the earliest way to do like drugs, like taking a chance, throwing caution to the wind, not knowing where this was going to lead you up to. Like sugar and soda. And also that was the first time you had like, you were autonomous as a child. Like, you had the right to go get your own. Like, there was a lot of, like, oh, you get your own cup. You know, when you go to McDonald's where, and you, there was just something very fun about being in control as a kid there. And I used to just shirk all of my control and just fucking.
How is a Coke? Have you ever done just Coke and a Diet Coke half and half? I wonder how that. I'm going to try that. I'm
sure it would be delicious.
Yeah, I'm sure it's great.
Yeah. All right, Noah, number one.
Okay, number one has to be soda water.
Yeah.
The straight soda water from from the Fallon?
So good.
Yes.
I'm into it. And you know what?
It's always like, I always have such a hard time ordering it because depending on who's taking the order, how they know.
It's either a water cup and nothing, or it's they charge you for soda.
No, it's just, okay, I either have to say, I'd like a seltzer, please. Huh? A club soda?
Huh?
What? Soda water. Got it.
But what if you're helping yourself to the fountain beverage? Do you buy a soda if you're not getting the flavor? Does the car, you should you pay for the carbonation? I believe you should.
I treat it like water.
Okay. Well,
interesting.
But if I get it, might be confused with the way you're saying water. But that, you know, is a different thing altogether. I love soda water too, Noah. It is my favorite beverage. Let me just say, when you get your own fountain sodas, soda water and then a splash of whatever juicy kind of juice they have.
It's interesting.
Like a citrus juice.
Seltzer for me has to be in a can. Like, I'm not a huge.
Oh, I love a club soda with a straw.
Oh.
A glass bottle for me.
Ooh, glass. Who's having glass? Oh, Topo, like a Perrier.
Remember when club soda came? I feel like when my mom would drink club soda, I'd be like, ooh, look at my mom drinking club soda. Like, it was like fancy. It's like fancy water.
It's everything. I mean, I started drinking club soda when I was a drinker, and I would get a club soda and Kettle One and soda.
Yeah.
With a lot of lemon, and then boom, no taste. And then I got addicted to soda. And then, you know, diet soda became just so much sucralose and all that bad sugars that I switched to. And now LaCroix. I mean, it's like, it's no one could have predicted this. And Perrier is not the same as soda water. I don't know the difference. Why is it different? Don't slide into my DMs and tell me. I don't even care. But it is different. I realize it is. And when you call sparkling water mineral water, what the fuck are you talking about? No. Anya is always like, and I'll have a mineral water. I'm like, no. She goes, that's another word for sparkling water. I go, yeah, maybe in 1972. No more. Mineral water equals like flat water that's like maybe in a glass bottle, right? To me.
I feel like mineral water is water.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It's not.
Because
it's
Topo sparkling. Chico is mineral water. Oh, no, that's sparkling.
Yeah, and that's sparkling.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck.
But no one calls it mineral water anymore.
No.
Except Anya.
That's what they called a pussy in 1846, I think.
Final thought. I'm taking Luigi to the vet today.
Mm-hmm.
For anxiety. Because I never even thought, like, oh, maybe I could do something about his anxiety. And I'm, like, excited to have maybe a chiller dog than I have. Just want him to feel calm and peace.
Does he go to a doggy therapist?
He looks really chilled out. What?
Does he go to a therapist or a vet? Like, is there a...
Yeah, he's going
to
sit on a little couch.
Yeah.
And lay down.
Yeah.
He's already sitting on a little couch.
And growl about his feelings. I would give anything to know where he came from and what he's been through. What have you been through? Like... Sometimes I watch these dodo videos and these dogs are so shaky and sad and going before their pet. And it's just like, what harm you? Who harms a little baby dog? And I just want to know what, you know, atrocities he's seen because he's been through so much trauma. I mean, this is like adopting someone who's been in war as a child.
I wonder if
on the mean streets.
I wonder if anyone, brings their animal in to get drugs for themselves. Like, they can't get the drugs anymore because they were drug addicts
Oh, yeah, I bet you anything.
Whoa.
Because you ever seen that Seinfeld episode where Kramer's, he has a cough and he can't, and the dog has the same cough as him?
No.
Oh, my God, it's so funny. He ends up taking cough medicine. He's in denial about his cough. And Jerry is like a germaphobe. It's like, you got to get that checked. And then he is taking care of this dog, and the dog has the same kind of human cough that Kramer has. They like pumped in a human cough. And it's one of the funniest scenes ever. Jerry is trying to give Kramer medicine.
Yeah.
To you know, heal his cough. And he's like, you got to take this medicine. He's like, no, Jerry, no, I don't want to. And he grabs Kramer and he puts the pill in Kramer's mouth and he's just doing the dog thing where he's like, nom, nom. And then he like tackles him to the floor and is just like, and rubbing his neck and going like, eat it, and holding his mouth shut. And it is Kramer's like interpretation of a dog taking medicine is one of the funniest comedic moments, I think, of all time.
I got to YouTube that.
I love that Seinfeld is now on Netflix. I haven't watched it yet, but it's just nice knowing it's there. There's so many things I gotta watch. I really want to watch that Brittany Murphy doc. Noah, were you a Brittany Murphy fan?
I'd watch that with
you. Did
you
watch the documentary yet?
Are you gonna be able to wait a week until I get to St. Louis and then maybe we'll watch it together?
Yeah, we can watch it together. That'd be great. Okay, I'll save it. It's a two-parter. I'm very excited. What happened to Brittany Murphy?
I know.
I think I know, and I think it was mold.
You said mold like. Like, mold will hear you.
It could. It's everywhere.
Really
it's
is.
It's going to kill us all.
Mold.
Yeah, that's my speculation. I read a report one time that it's mold, but who knows? I'm very excited to watch that documentary. I heard it's very sad. I feel like she's still, alive for some reason. She's been gone for so long. It's been 10 years.
Yeah.
Over 10 years. Oh, Luigi, you stink. Boah. I think he just, anally expressed.
Talk about mold. Dude.
Oh, God. Okay, I gotta go take him to the vet and wash his ass before I do. Oh, I think it got on me.
Ugh.
Okay, this was a podcast. And Andrew will be back tomorrow from South Carolina again. And, oh, my God, this is seriously infiltrating my skin. I have to go shower, and I'm running late. I love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. My dog just anally expressed on me. Anally express yourself. Noah likes to divide balls with her nose. Andrew's going to play a better golf game today. I'm going to go shower and probably have to shave my head for what just happened to me. You skunked me, Luigi. You skunked. Don't be cur. And
Jackson 5.
Yes.